All right, good morning. This is a meeting of the Streets Committee. It's March 25th, 7:30 a.m. Present are myself, Patrick Richardson, Doug Hayner, Mark Fry, Mary Westfall, other members of council, Katie Capellini and Sandy Husman, from the administration, Kevin Allard, Toby Troyer, and Craig Stow, mayor. Today's purpose of the meeting is to discuss, it's a continuation of a discussion we had about the 2020 budget, this particularly in pertaining to the streets. Today is about exploring all ideas and possibilities and not to make any final decisions that we might make. Do you want to add anything?
You know, and I had just wanted to make sure that we're very clear at the start of this meeting that all of these budget conversations are really high-level discussions that we've had in the past. It's a part of our responsibility as good stewards of managing the funds that the city brings in, and that we really are here to look at every opportunity, but not to make any final decisions. I just want to make sure that everyone in this room is clear, and anybody listening to the tape fully understands that these are discussions only. And when we have made any final decisions, we will certainly be talking about those as well. But at this point in time, everything is just ideas and suggestions, and there are no hard decisions being made.
Great, thank you. Kevin, it looks like you have some of the maps here. Do you want to pass those out just so everybody's looking at the same things and we're all talking? So we have the 2016 and 2018, is that correct, Kevin?
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
The 2016 and 18, is that what we have going on here?
Yes. Yeah.
So these are the street ratings. Can you maybe give an overview quickly of how these are determined and all that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, every 2 years, actually our streets department, we have we're up to about a half a dozen now of our streets employees that we've sent to training through ODOT in order to establish the PCRs, which is pavement condition readings. There's a criteria. There's probably about 20, 25 different categories that they'll score as they go to each street in the city. And let's say drainage might be an item. If it has under drains and storm sewers, it would score a 10. If it has none of those, it would score a 0. And things like that. So that's how these scores are established. They run through, they hit each one of those items, score them depending on the condition of the pavement, the condition of the drainage, all kinds of things that affect pavement's condition. And then they run through, they tally those, and then this is the results. It can score, we have some pavements in the city that score down in the 30s. We have some pavements that, you know, score very high in the 90s, so it just depends. The lower score, the worse the pavement. Make sure that we get the scale right. when you're in that mid-range, that 66 to 85 there, those are projects typically that can do resurfacings. You may get lucky and be able to do them down into the next category, depending on the exact pavement. But once you get into the 50s, you're really looking at a reconstruction project. Resurfacing is just not. Can you resurface? Yes, but you're not going to get the life that you want out of that project.
So the summary on that is that it's more beneficial financially in the long term to fix things before they get down into the 50s.
Yeah.
And is that, you know, I know you said other things go into that, so as far as sewers and things like that and drainage, I mean, is that something, is this the full picture, or we're talking about just the pavement? I mean, does the sewers affect that as well?
The storm sewers can affect it.
Morning.
I'm trying to think, Alger and Schultz. That area does not have any storm drainage, and the pavement doesn't have any under drains underneath it. That pavement will not, we just won't get the life out of that pavement as we would with a street that has the under drains and the storm drainage. So if we're going to go into those areas, And part of our capital improvement plan has what we're calling the whetstone area, which includes Alger and Schultz. If we're going to go into those areas, you know, we'd like to try to get those under drain, at least the under drains, and some minimal storm drainage in, so that we can extend the life of that pavement if we do.
Okay.
So, and obviously that drives the cost up.
Yeah. So the cost, I mean, if we're going to, the bullet points that I have from the last finance committee meeting, as far as the streets go, is somehow quantifying what we think an acceptable quality of street is. You know, do we need to put the money into making everything 85 to 100? I mean, anecdotally, you know, I live on Garden Park here, and I drive on this Erie where it's red every day. You know, it doesn't seem, I guess it looks a lot worse than that to me, and that's just, like I said, just on an anecdotal standpoint. So we need to make a decision on if we can quantify what's an acceptable street for our citizens as far as that compared to raising taxes or assessments. And that was, the other thing we needed to talk about was assessments, and if we thought that was something we wanted to talk about. I'm not sure what the city's history or precedent is with assessments. As far as I understand, it's been a while. Is that correct, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, the city did use assessment projects until 1998. The last assessment project was probably over in the oldest part of town there, the old Railroad Street and Allen Street. We would do about 50% assessments. But before that, they were all assessment projects, is my understanding. But then since then, the city has been taking the full load on residential street replacements, and we have either bonded the replacement of concrete streets, or we have paid out of savings replacement or reconstruction of asphalt streets. And there were many concrete streets in the city that were in very bad shape. They've been totally torn out. We're slowly paying those bonds back. The last big paving project we had was north of Erie Street, back here in Gillingham, San Reno, Orvieto, back behind the First Methodist Church.
Patrick, could I ask a question about the assessment process?
Sure.
That was before my time, Mr. Mayor. How did the city do assessments? Was it an act of council? Did the individual neighborhoods have to determine that?
I believe it is a requirement, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's a requirement that a petition be circulated in the neighborhood and that at least 50% or 51% of the residents request the project. They'll come in and say, our roads need to be fixed. We prepared a contract for them. They went back out and there would be people in the neighborhood that would pass or circulate that petition, and then it would come back to City Council to approve the petition to start the engineering, and then an assessment equalization board would be appointed. An assessment equalization board is a difficult assignment for any citizen to be on. They listen to the complaints about why they have to pay 50% or why isn't the city paying the whole load, and there are also some adjustments that are made for corner project as well. If here's a corner lot, you don't pay in both directions. So
I remember we did that actually for those three streets off of Monroe where we paved them. Was that right? About a couple of years ago. They'll be
where we annexed the
you annexed them and then paved them.
Right.
Yeah, but that's okay. That's very helpful.
Right there, that is the end. Assessment Equalization Board tries to smooth things and make it fair for everybody.
And that's not members of council on that board?
Absolutely not.
Okay. And then the other thing that we had from the last meeting, and this is something I found in research that other communities have done, is setting a fixed amount of money to spend on streets every year. And that's, I mean, you can see the pros in that as far as keeping the budget, but when it comes to, you know, if something were to happen and we want to spend over that, it could cause some problems. I don't know if you want to talk about what that number would be, if that was a direction we wanted to go, or if we wanted to move more in the direction of keeping all the streets out of some kind of a quantifiable average as far as the PCR cars go.
I don't have a clear perspective on that, Patrick, but I am curious if there is some way that we could understand how other communities maintain their streets at a level that's acceptable. Because one of the things we know is that we've got a huge expense in the ideal world of getting our streets to the place that we'd like them. But other communities are finding a way to do it. Any feedback about how other communities fund their streets?
Essentially the same way that we do. And then when they get behind it, each community is different on how they handle, I'll say when you get behind, that's probably not the right terminology, but when the streets start to deteriorate faster than you're spending the money. City of Perrysburg, they spend a certain amount of money each year, and I don't know what that amount is. But about 2 or 3 years ago, they went out for a large, they sold a large bond note in order to largely increase their residential street repair. It was in the neighborhood of about $10 million. And they just went in and they attacked all of the areas at once. That is a method. The problem is in 20, 25 years, all of those streets are going to be going at the same time. So you're going to be right back into it. So we've tried to stay more along the, let's get the streets when they need it. That way we're spacing this all out over 2025.
Natural rotation.
Yeah. It's hard to compare other cities because it's, just take Maumee. Maumee and Perrysburg are obviously the two communities that we compare to whenever we're taking a look at stuff. But that's a hard comparison when both of those cities have almost twice the income tax that we have. They're able to spend more money each year on their streets, and to float a bond, is it possible? Yeah. I don't know that that would be. I don't know that I would advise that though.
Kevin, it seems like you told us a figure that was like an ideal figure in your mind for annual upkeep of roads. I think it was around two point.
Yeah, about $2.5 million. And that's just an easy calculation based on total replacement cost divided by life expectancy.
Has the city of Sylvania ever been in a position where we were able to maintain $2.5 million in road repairs on an annual basis?
Not in my time here. We've typically been in about that one to one and a half range. That it always fluctuates a little bit, mm-hmm. but that's typically where we've been. One of the things that we are taking a look at is that $2.5 million that came from, with Ohio Public Works Commission, you have to do a capital improvement plan, and that's essentially what I provide council with. And it has in there, if you had to replace everything, what's the replacement cost? And that's where I pulled that dollar from. We've updated it. We update it each year since I've been here. I don't know how much thought and input was put into it prior to my time. So if I was starting with a bad number, then I still got a bad number. So we're taking a look at that and really taking a look at what kind of mileage we have that is simple maintenance, larger maintenance, large replacement type projects, and seeing that number can be adjusted. That's just a quick and dirty number based on life expectancy.
This might be a little too in the weeds, but I'm just curious if you could help me to understand a little bit what kind of work was done on Erie Street from 16 to 18. You can see from Main Street to San Reno, it was red before. and now it's orange. So did you do some work there, and is that a millicell, or did that...
It's a little bit. It's even though it tries to be as objective as it can be, the PCR process is still a subjective.
Got it.
Because you're scoring from, you know, 0 to 10. You know, that could very well be, you know, in 2016 it scored a 49, and in 2018 it scored a 51.
Got it.
And so that it can be. You know, there is still some subjectivity in those scorings. It tries to be as objective as possible.
I sound like I'm asleep at the switch Monday morning. Refresh my memory on how these scores are done.
You don't
set them, someone else sets.
No, yeah. Well, our employees at the streets department go out every 2 years and make those rankings.
So that's what you said.
Yeah, we train. Yeah, right at the beginning, yeah. They get that training through ODOT. In fact, we're... The two guys that had, it's been the longest since they've been there, they'll be going in about a month, just as a refresher. Because we, Joe and I also take a look at, we put 2016 scores together, and then we put 2018 scores. And when there's a large discrepancy, we're like, okay, guys, somebody's got to go out and take a look at this, and you know, we're off here. And so we don't, it's, they're never going to be exact. Because there is a little bit of personal opinion there. But when we get a larger discrepancy, we say, nah, something's not right, guys. And so we review those streets.
From a historical perspective, I could say the city, a lot of the city suburbs were built in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. And they were built with concrete streets, many of which did not have under drains. And the city did not have to put a lot of money into streets for several decades because so many of the streets were new. But then starting in the 80s and especially in the 90s, when those streets deteriorated and replaced, the city put a lot of money into streets, rebuilding those concrete streets. And those are coming due again now. Those are some, I can look at the map here and see what's going on in some of those neighborhoods. The natural progression is not evenly spread around the city yet. I guess it's getting closer. But we've been through the big buy one time, and I think it's going to come around again. The town, I talked to township trustee about their streets, and they're putting more money into their neighborhood streets this year because they're facing that same issue. Even though their suburbs were built with asphalt streets, they're starting to face that, like St. James Woods. They've got to decide what are they going to do with those because they are deteriorating and they're coming around as a bunch. And I noticed some differences between 16 and 18 too, Kevin. In front of my house on Vicksburg, it was yellow in 2016, and I didn't know it got better in 2018. It went to green, but you did do crack filling. Would that have done enough to bring it back up like that? And I got complaints about the crack filling. People don't like the way it looks.
Yeah, my street got better too.
Yeah. So I
don't know. That was.
It must have been the crack filling, and that does seal it. Or maybe you did some work on the storm sewers, but
yeah, all of that.
I can't find Vicksburg.
Just to the left of that there big lake there.
Yeah, and that's where we're at 70 to 81. That's right at our 10% threshold. The crack filling would have improved it because it would have eliminated the part of the drainage concern. I'd have to see ones that we take a look at that were in those differences. We go back and we take a look at the scoring and we say, okay, how do we get here?
You may have replaced a few catch basins in that period too. I'm not clear on that.
Yeah.
And Kevin, the crack filling, when you say drainage, that's to avoid the water from running into the pavement, freezing, creating heat, upheave, and cracking the pavement and then creating potholes, correct?
Right. That's the primary reason. The other reason also is to keep the water out of the sub base. The primary reason are the potholes.
To finish my historic talk, the big red blob here right north of Olander Lake, Gettysburg, Fredericksburg, Williamsburg, those are some of the remaining concrete streets in town that did not get replaced in the big push in the 90s and the 2000s, because those streets were in better shape. But as Kevin has described in the past, there are problems with them. Though Williamsburg, some of them seem pretty good. North Vicksburg's really good. That's a concrete street, and it's a yellow on here. But that's the big chunk of money that has been delayed, and we are proceeding with that at the moment. And it deteriorates slowly. It's already red. Has to be replaced.
Yeah, that's the thing with streets. It's not, you know, it's there are some conditions on, sometimes when we see some cracking, some subsurface cracking that start beginning, that will immediately drop a score, because once that reaches the surface, now we've got a mess. Yeah. And so that's about the only thing that will swing a score a lot, is if that person doing the review notices that subsurface cracking starting. And that's the primary thing that we find. So.
Kevin, in addition to Lincoln Woods, the other big chunk of work that seems to need to be done, I apologize if you talked about this earlier, is Sylvania Avenue. I mean, it's pretty hard to miss that huge four-lane, multiple-lane strip that runs probably, a mile?
Yep.
Could you talk about that? Is that a more difficult and more expensive project than a residential street?
That actually, the majority of that one will be taken care of this year.
By us?
By the county. Well, a joint effort.
Okay.
It's about a $2.7 million project, and county was paying for their share, the township share. We're paying for the city share, but our out-of-pocket expense is only about $82,000 on that project. Unbelievable. County engineer, I got to give you a county engineer kudos. They leveraged about three different programs, did a fantastic job.
Okay, so that's being addressed.
Yes.
And this other one up here in that Summer Drive and Shadywood and Kings Run that's got a bunch of red in it, we're repaving there this summer.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I'll just make an observation that when we look at other communities, my experience in other communities is that they don't maintain their roads the way we do. We do we have better roads than most places I visit and see. And I think our neighbors have come to expect that. I don't think we're going to be very happy with deteriorating road conditions. We haven't set a fixed number and held it to that, because that didn't meet the what we perceived to be the need to maintain the quality. Now, we have also had we've been fortuitous in our budgeting. We had some funds that we could call upon to do that. Going forward, I don't know that we're going to have that same luxury. So, I guess that's why when we have opportunities to increase revenue, I think we need to be cognizant of that and aggressive in pursuing it. We don't ever want to have a map worse than what we have here. And I'm not saying this is bad. I'm saying what this reflects is what I think the vision was of the folks who were in council right before I got on council, which was that we would address in an orderly fashion over a period of a decade or maybe stretch that out to 12 to 15 years, the roads in the city, fixing some every year and keeping them on a regular rotation, subject to obviously an assessment of the need. But you know, we didn't go out and spend, you know, we started spending that money all along, and during the 16 years I've been on council, that's what we've done. You know, we fixed roads every year as much as we could. So I, you know, to the extent we can do that, I think we ought to continue to do that. What that might mean is extending that rotation further. But I'm really reluctant to just lock into a specific number and say, this is all we're going to do when we have our administrative staff telling us that that's not going to get, you know, that doesn't get it done in a particular year. And we, and that doesn't mean we don't hold the, you know, hold them to the fire and make them step, you know, make you make your case. You're pretty good at it.
Doug, just a point of clarification.
Yeah.
Since you're, you know, making the point that we don't want to lock into a number, what are you suggesting that we just are not locking in so we can maximize on an annual basis what that number might
That's
be?
That's my thinking, yeah.
Yeah.
Based upon the other needs
Based
that we have.
Needs,
yeah. Yeah. But I think that's what we have been doing.
I think so, too.
And I think it's, you know, I think it's worked. Mm-hmm. And again, maybe because we've had some financial leeway that other cities haven't had and that we may not have in the future. It may get tougher to do that going forward. But
Doug, answer this. By following that process in the last couple of years, our budget has been out of balance, right?
The fixed amount that you guys are speaking of would be about $800,000 a year. And that would depend on, you know, if we bought a snowplow truck that year, it's $100,000 or what have you, and that would be lower, but it'd be around $800,000 a year to maintain an annually balanced budget that you could spend on streets.
And that's less than we're spending now.
Yeah, we're spending about twice that.
Yeah.
After we made the cuts, we're spending about twice
and
that.
And I guess I wasn't leaping to the fixed amount piece so much as to say that philosophically we have a budget issue if we're going to continue to do what Debbie suggested.
And it would be from, you know, obviously I look at it from two perspectives. I certainly understand that we have to live within, you know, proper spending protocol, if you will. But the project that we're doing this year in that summer, Shady Wood, Kings Run, in that area, that's a classic example where we're getting in there and we're taking care of those, you know, for 200, and our bids came in at 290, right around 290,000. If we put that project off, it's going to cost us five times that. And so you're not really saving money. You're just delaying the inevitable. And so we try to hit these, and that's a red area. You know, where typically you're not able to do that resurfacing. That area is still good enough that we're able to do that. But if we let everything go to where we, you know, don't do anything and have to reconstruct, our dollars just aren't going to go very far.
And that's what was with the area in Lincoln Woods, correct? That if we put that up, we were able to, because that's not incurring any further cost, because we're already to the point past that where we can't just resurface. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And
well, those are concrete streets, too, so it's a substantially bigger job.
Yeah, they've lasted a very, very long time. The bad thing with concrete streets is when they stop lasting, it's a huge expense.
Could you talk a little bit about Cushman? Because I was just up there Saturday. And that, you're correct, that's a mess.
Yeah.
That almost probably from a linear standpoint is as much as Lincoln Woods, right? I mean, as far as the amount of...
Ballpark.
Yeah. So
what street are you talking about?
Parallel 23.
That's blacktop though, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's asphalt. So. It's in very poor condition. Doesn't have any undergrains.
The speed bumps.
Yeah. No, that was their requirement. Cushman, frankly, one of the other things that we take a look at when we take a look at street replacements is volume.
Yeah, not so much there.
Not so much there. And so, unfortunately, it's going to, you know, it'll be, it's on the list. We have a large water main project that we have to do in that area, and that Cushman's probably going to benefit from that. Because it'll, during that water line project, it'll probably be all tore up, and so we'll have to replace it as part of that project. But we have, we just have work that we have to do in our water system, and Cushman is probably, it's going to have to wait a little bit, but Cushman is probably going to end up benefiting from that water project.
So as far as the discussion pertains to the 2020 budget, as far as a strategy, I mean, it's something you're suggesting that we can, you know, in order to still maintain the streets to an appropriate level, but also get our budget to an appropriate level where we're not deficit spending. Is it, as far as a strategy, do you think it's, is it better to not focus on the areas that we see red first, or to tackle these and save the money both now, but also make sure we're not, you know, setting up a future city council for some huge expense? What's the strategy as you guys are going into the 2020 budget?
Mm-hmm. We're taking a look. We're with the I mentioned a little the last council meeting, I believe, that in that Meadows area that we're doing this year, Summer, Shady Wood, and Kings Run, we're utilizing some new mixes through ODOT, and that lowers. Substantially lowers the cost of resurfacing even more than what it was. And Joe and I have talked. What we would like to do is to take a look at those streets where we are right on the border of the resurfacing cusp, and concentrate on those, so that we don't get into the reconstruction mode on those, and then continue to kind of work up the ladder, if you will.
So the orange streets, is that?
Yeah, primarily the orange streets. Some of the red streets, like I said, we got, you know, we were fortunate in that project that we're doing this year. Yes, it's red, but we're still comfortable that a resurfacing will extend the life.
And is that bringing it, I mean, is it going to be green or is it going to be yellow? You know, after you resurface a red, say Shady Wood or what have you, I mean, I know you said
it would bring it to a green.
Okay.
Yeah, possibly even black. The Kings Run, and to primarily Kings Run, Summer to a degree. If anybody's driven those streets during the winter, it's like a rodeo. It was poor soils. The compaction that was done as part of the sanitary. And the original installation was not sufficient, and you can tell where every one of those crossovers is at. And it's, you know, it's needed. I mean, I understand those people's concerns, and it's needed.
Will this resurfacing address that?
Yeah. It'll tie everything together. It'll improve that base course of pavement to where it can withstand those heaves and that. So,
okay.
Some of the trenches we're going to completely replace, the spot repairs, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. So yeah, we'll get rid of that problem. So, but that's kind of how we're planning on doing this, trying to make that resurfacing. We also have some micro-surfacing scheduled for 2020. Other than crack filling, that is the best bang for our buck that we can get in the streets that are eligible. We're going to pretty much max out our micro-surfacing ability. Now, there's always going to be streets, you know, coming into that. Streets that are now black are going to digress into the green, and then our micro-surfacing list will come up. But the streets that we know of, we'll pretty much have wrapped up. With microservicing, but you know, if you can get them in that resurfacing mode, we're much better off.
can you keep micro, can you keep doing that?
Or is it
a one-time thing?
You'll be able to do it, if it's kept up on, you'll be able to do it 2-3 times. And so you're getting, you know, you're getting, I'll say, 100-year life out of the project, so to speak. If you don't and you start falling off, then that's where you have to get into the reconstruction.
Right.
The Alger Schultz area, that's a reconstruction. Can we resurface? Yeah. I just wouldn't advise it. I don't think it's money well spent. The Williamsburg, Gettysburg area, there's a concrete street. That's a full reconstruction.
So you take them out and you put in asphalt?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Make them asphalt. I know it's not a word that anybody likes, especially council people, but the assessments, what that becomes is really a revolving loan to ourselves. Because once you have, if you make those assessments, 10-year assessments, and you do that on an annual basis, then all you're doing is just rotating that money. So you have a constant $250,000, $300,000 coming into your system every year, and it increases your budget. And who benefits, the primary beneficiaries of a resurfacing project are the people that live on that street. Mm-hmm. Is there through traffic? Sure. But the primary beneficiaries are the people that live on that street.
Help me understand that maybe a little more about the assessments. Assessment is for limited duration, right? 20 years, 30 years?
I would, on streets, typically you'll do a 10-year assessment.
Right. And it's fully simply on the neighborhood where the work is being done.
I think typically they have a right to pay it up front too if they wanted to. It doesn't automatically go to assessment.
Mm-hmm. So, from an annual budget standpoint, if purely hypothetical, we decided that Lincoln Woods maybe had the need but also the demand for a resurfacing or a reconstruction, and we went and did an assessment with them. What impact would that have on our annualized budget?
What would the assessment be on that project?
The assessments on that project alone would be approximately $200,000 to $250,000
a year.
No.
Total.
$25,000 per year.
One tenth of that.
Okay. So if you do just one project, it's not going to have any impact to your budget.
Okay.
But if you do this over a 10-year period, if every year for the next 10 years. You assess a portion of your residential resurfacing. After 10 years, if you continue that practice, it's $250,000, $300,000 every year that you pay.
So in other words, you start with Lincoln Woods, but then you move up to Cushman, which would be a tougher sell probably. But I'm just saying, and so you take these larger projects one at a time, and the cumulative effect of that.
So it's going to take, like Kevin's saying, it'll take 10 years before you see the full effect of it.
But then
the full dollars.
What would the full effect end up?
The $250,000, $300,000 if you did it every year.
Yeah. And each year is going to be a little different because if it's a $1.2 million project and you assess, I'm just using a 25% figure, that would be $300,000.
Do you know of any communities that do it that way?
Finley.
Really?
Yeah, Finley assesses 33%. Let me rephrase that. If it's citizen requested, they assess 60%. If it's city driven, they assess 33%. And that's now not they don't have an assessment project every year, but it's pretty typical. That's how, I don't know if any of you are familiar, you probably are, Mary, but the area by the hospital, all of that area south of the hospital has been redone, and that was primarily through assessment methods. And it's, now I wouldn't look at it, I wouldn't look at it as a budget line item, but it's just a fact that you've got that it just becomes a revolving loan.
And I didn't, you know, OPWC actually invented that. I just, you know, I'm stealing it from them.
Finley's income tax rate is just 1%, right?
It's just 1%. That's correct.
So is there, in your opinion, as you're building the 2020 budget, is there room to space out the schedule of doing these things, whether it's full reconstruction or resurfacing, and still maintain an acceptable quality? And before we get to talking about if we're going to do assessments, can we still get to where we want to be budget-wise by simply just spacing out some of these projects like we are putting off with the Lincoln Woods area one?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. No. That would not.
Can we bring it in any?
Well, where I'm at right now is on the 2020 recommendations is a little over $3.8 million in total work. That does include the Fredericksburg South project that we delayed this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I had $3.8 million in total work, and we have almost $1.3 million in outside funding coming in. So that's a net of about 2.5.
And we'd have about the revenue is about a third of that.
And sir, what'd you say?
The revenue would be about a third of that.
Balance the budget.
Wait, what do you? I'm sorry, what?
If his actual cost to the city is $250,000 or $2.5 million,
yeah,
our revenue would be more than $800,000, but that would be the funds we receive from the other organizations. So, in actual apples to apples, you're comparing a $2.5 million expense to the city to the $800,000 in revenue the city would bring in.
Okay,
so what column are you going to see?
2020. Now that may be a little different than your dark, because we.
No, this one's dated. Yeah, mine.
Yeah.
Yours is new, but.
Yeah, because we've had to slide some projects
did
around.
What'd you do with Fredericksburg South?
Did you slide that? I slid it to 2020. Now that's, you know.
Same with Holland, Savannah?
No, Holland, Savannah stays.
You did that? You got that done?
Yes, that'll be this year.
And it would, did we do, keep this? We kept this room. We did that.
Yeah, we did. We will be doing it. Yeah, you can come, as long as you guys approve it next council meeting. Now, if we did,
but it's in our budget. Is
yes,
point.
Yes. If we did what Patrick is recommending, or I shouldn't say recommending, but it's stated on Fredericksburg, it's bad. it's going to be bad next year. You know, that would knock another $480,000 off for that. Yeah, so that would make that almost a $3.3 million a year. So we're at about $2 million there.
Okay, so my numbers are old, but
I can actually. I mean, copy.
Oh,
sorry
okay.
About that.
That's alright.
Didn't download it.
So this isn't. I mean, it's obviously not an easy decision if we're going to keep putting off some of these streets that need attention. But I don't know if $2.5 million is something we're all prepared to spend, as far as we've been talking about. Bringing the budget in for the future, and I guess it's something as a council we need to decide on. You know, where's the line of quality to spending?
One of the things I think you've done a great job of, Kevin, is finding additional resources to help with some
and
of
that's
the
reflected on this last page here, right?
Yes,
that's $1.3 million. That's a big number.
It's really great. So I appreciate that. I know all councilmembers appreciate that you're always finding those other options for that will benefit for the resurfacing and rebuilding of the roads.
Yeah. We really we put a lot of time and effort into trying to leverage our funds. With these grant funds, our concern is. Program through ODOT, it used to be, it's what all the big projects went to, it was called track funding. And I
don't remember what TRAC, I can give you about every other ODOT acronym, but I don't remember what TRAC stands for. But TRAC funding, it's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. I don't want that to happen to CMAC funding or TAP funding or anything like that. And the city of Salina, you know, after I retire, say, man, that idiot Allard can take advantage of all that free money. I'm just concerned that those programs are going to continue to dwindle. And, you know, so if we can leverage those funds, yes, it means some dollars out of our pockets, because obviously we have to have our match, but paying 50% of a project is better than paying 100% of the match.
Do you know what it would be if we only did the projects related to the $1.3 million? Do you know what, how much projects we'd be doing? Dollar amount?
Yeah, it's here. Basically, right about all these local ones, all the local ones,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you get rid of the Eagle Trace microservice and Elliott Drive microservice. Angel View Court microservicing.
But even some of the local ones still have a lower expense. I mean, the Elliott Drive microservicing 14.2, where like our share of the Erie Street, am I reading that right, is 35. The point of this meeting was we thought that the streets department could have the most potential for some spending out of the 2020 budget. I guess this is where we want to start. So if we were to only do projects that we were getting help with funding on, I guess we'd have to figure out what that looks like on the map here, which I'm not sure, to be honest.
Yeah, if we only did the projects that we got funding on, our out-of-pocket expense would be very close to the year 800,000.
Repeat that, Kevin. If we only did
the projects where we have outside funding,
okay,
available, we'd be, our net would be very close to the 800,000 that would be.
It strikes me, though, that you can only do that once or twice before it starts to lose control of the process. Right?
You know, it's one of those things where, as a service director, today's current service director looks like, you know, he's just a golden child because he lives within a budget and he doesn't, you know, doesn't do deficit spending and he's fantastic. The next service director is just going to get hammered because we're going to be way behind on pavement maintenance.
Next city council.
Patrick, I don't know if you talked about this earlier. The one other variable that is a hypothetical is the aspects. It hasn't come up yet. I don't know what the fate of the gas tax is in the Senate, but if the gas tax at any reasonable level gets approved, how quickly would that have an impact on our budget and how much would it be?
I think they cut it all the way down to 5 cents now, didn't they? The Senate.
Six. Down from 18?
So it'll be
six. The Senate passed six. Yeah.
Six. It'll be $100-some thousand.
Yeah.
Is that
what's
about right?
What's the point of that?
Yeah. Roughly.
Yeah, you're correct.
So it'll be, yeah, right. Yeah. It's not going to move the needle much.
And if they pass it, it'll be at that level. And they may not pass it at all. Is that right?
It's in committee right now.
Yeah.
Because Senate, House passed two different versions, so it's in committee. Governor's still pushing for his 18 cents.
What did this emergency declaration do as a practical matter?
That's a higher pay grade than me. I don't know if it did anything. I think when you go 13 years, I mean, we've seen in some of our water and sewer fees, actually, we're going to be seeing it in some of our sewer fees coming up, but when you go 13 years without increasing, with no increases, that's just, I mean, life just doesn't work that way. And unfortunately, you have to have big jumps then.
Yeah, But what I hear you saying is materially it would have no impact.
It'll be about 150,000. If it stays at 6 cents, it'll be about 150,000.
So a couple other things.
But that's a couple of streets.
But to get us between the 2.5 down to 800,000, I mean, that's the, you know, that's the.
Well, it gets us from 800 to 9.5.
Yeah, sure.
And then the question is, you know, where else?
Yeah.
We have other.
What's the other half of my question is, when does it kick in? So when would it show up?
They said they were going to start collecting it July 1st if it passes.
Would then definitely
so we get half of it for this year.
Then the distribution would be made in 20.
Yeah, I don't think we're real sure on the distribution percentage and all that too, right?
No, they're still messing with those. I think those will end up going back to the original distributions. If they want any chance of it passing, I think they'll have to go back to the original distributions.
Which means what for us, Kevin?
Does
it help us or hurt us?
It helps us. Staying put helps us, yeah. They were talking about changing the distribution, giving more to counties and townships. That would hurt us.
The 150,000 is based on.
I understand.
It's staying the same.
As it is in the legislation.
But in the House legislation.
In the House legislation,
yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
So it's easy for us to see how we've gotten to the point where we're deficit spending on the roads on an annual basis, because $800,000 just isn't enough.
Costs keep going up.
Everything's going up. A couple other ideas that had surfaced, I don't think that we really have had a group discussion. Mark, you had the suggestion of doing some kind of a community tax specific to roads. Some sort of a short-term increase specific to roads only.
Right, and there's
you might speak to that thought.
Right, as I read case studies from government relations advocacy around the state and around the country, some communities are having a reasonable success with very small, very targeted, very limited taxes. So a three-year tax of 0.25%, or pick a number that's satisfying these, specifically for residential roads, for example. Now, all money's fungible, right? So it just helps the cause, but it comes into the treasury. And those things are tending to get passed if there's a good location campaign, and especially in communities like Salina, right, which are relatively upscale. So I don't know that we have an appetite for that either. I would tell you that the year 2020 would be the year to do that, because we're going to have presumably a huge voter turnout. New voters or irregular voters, people who don't vote all the time, are more persuadable around tax levies like this. And so I don't know what the numbers would be, Toby, if we did a 3-year 0.25% assessment.
Each 0.25% would be about 800,000, 800 to 900,000 a year.
There you have it. Right?
Are we talking property tax?
Or the income number says it's 1.85 million, 0.25%.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I've got on my notes that 0.25% increase in the income tax rate is 1.85 million.
Yeah, I was talking primarily property tax.
Because
you're talking millage?
Yeah.
That's a different number. Okay, sorry.
What was the income tax? The income tax was 1.8?
A 0.25% income tax increase is 1.85 million. And I'm sure Toby's right on the assessment.
Yeah, Mayor, I think the notion of a payroll tax temporary increase is a little less easy to pass.
Yeah.
Because there's a perception that it's not fair. What people like about this temporary property tax is that everybody has to pay it, or most everybody.
Notes here say 2.6 mils equals $1 million.
So a third of that.
And this would require a vote.
Sure.
Not on council. Is that correct?
Well, sure, for sure on council, but then
council can move to the ballot.
Yes, but it would need to have
but
a
it lets the
vote.
Community give us the feedback. And so if for some reason the roads aren't at the peak of the standards, but they've also had an opportunity
well,
to
and
give
and that's
that.
Sort of that's the unspoken threat, right? If we've given you your chance,
that's,
and if you defeat it, you have to live with what you get.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
we
the numbers
still continue
are the
numbers. To try and do good things.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, mm-hmm. Of course, we still continue to try and do good things.
Oh,
on
oh sure.
Either way.
But again, that is, I don't want to call that the nuclear option, but it's certainly an option that is pretty well outside what the city council's been willing to take on.
And just so for a point of clarification, we would not need a public vote for an increase in income tax. Is that correct?
Yeah,
we
would.
Need
one. Oh, we would.
They would.
Right.
To change the income tax credit that we give our residents for income tax they pay in a different community does not take a vote of the residents.
Gotcha. Okay. I got it now.
See, I'm right.
Yep.
And then the other thing that has kind
just
of
for the record, I won't do that.
Which one? Which one?
Change the credit.
Oh. Okay.
And I'll go to war on that.
Then the other thing that kind of had surfaced in just conversation is how much opportunity there is for revenue once we pay off our bond, and how far down the road is that?
We're 13 years out after we did the refunding. Everything, all the majority of them come due 13 years from now, and we'll have approximately $1.9 to $2 million a year if we don't issue bonds between now and then. That's 13 years. Now, if we issue bonds for waters or sewers or something like that, that's just wholly separate based on their water fees. But yeah, 13 years from now, we will have almost an extra $2 million each year for specifically for capital projects.
So remember, those bonds are paying off projects which we are enjoying now in the city. The point is that we have projects in place that we're paying for as we use them. That's what a bonded debt is. It's not a, you don't borrow it against the future. You borrow it so that the people that are using it pay for it.
Yeah, and I'm not suggesting we're borrowing against the future.
Yeah.
We're just looking at what the future.
No, I'm actually talking to the tape more than anybody else. Right now.
Fair.
So just to summarize what I think I've heard. Right now, today, to balance the cash flow for the city on the capital side, we have about 800 grand a year that we can spend without pulling money from our balances, correct?
Correct.
We are getting advised by the administration that to stay steady with the streets, we need about 2.5, correct, Kevin?
Yes, at this stage, yes.
At this stage, so we have a $1.8 million deficit, correct? You're right.
We'd have a deficit.
Well spoken.
We have no deficit to respond to.
You're absolutely right. So we have a shortfall of $1.8 million. We may get another 100, 150 based on the gasoline tax that's under consideration in the legislature, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And the alternative, if we don't do that, if we don't address the shortfall, is that the streets deteriorate and it costs us a lot more later. Correct?
Yes.
So I guess the last question for you, Toby, is with all those things in there, what's the simplest and easiest way to raise $1.6, $1.7 million a year to address the shortfall?
The simplest and easiest way is the worst way. That's the tax credit. I mean, because we can talk about, the best way is, I would say, what Mark is talking about is the income tax increase specific to projects, but you still got to pass that. There's nothing guaranteed there. It's still a tax increase.
But the credit hits our residents.
Only our residents is the worst thing you can do for our residents.
And I don't want to speak for Doug, but I'm presuming that's one of the reasons why he would, as he indicated, he would be in opposition to that thought process.
I think Doug would have some support around the state.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if we really wanted to go that way, I'd rather take a head on it and go vote on it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that's the only way out of this, then we want to raise raise the income tax. I go vote on it and see where that comes up.
Kevin,
you know, I'm not saying I want to go there. I think there are some, I want to continue to pursue our other revenue opportunities. And I think, we need to be very serious about our other revenue opportunities.
Now enumerate in your mind what that means. What are our other revenue?
Well, one is to complete our current annexation process. And we know what that means in terms of some revenue projections over the long term. Historically, I think the annexations we've done since 1999 I happen to keep that number pretty handy because it's pretty compelling. 1.368 million dollars per year is what the annexations we've done since 1999 mean to the city. So if we hadn't done those annexations, think where we would be. Now, that's one place.
Okay. Any more that you could put on that list? That's one.
That's the one at the forefront of my thinking.
Okay. That's the table one.
There is another, which is to form JEDS with the township.
Correct.
We are in negotiations with the township. We got their attention because of the ongoing annexation process. But you need to put JEDS where the jobs are, and these property owners have to agree to it. There are some possibilities that would raise some revenue for the city.
One thing I want to point out too in this capital improvement plan, and it's not a position statement or anything like that, but it's, if you go through there, you'll notice that we don't have any future phases of River Trail or bike paths. The downtown streetscape has been a project that's been talked about for some time. That's not in here, so you add those projects in. $800,000 won't come close to those. Yeah.
Mark, if the group ever reached consensus on going to the ballot, when would you have to make that decision to get on the 2020 ballot? Do you know? You always are so smart.
I don't know. Probably March or July.
Of next year.
I would think July.
Really? Although it's not a municipal year, it's a federal year, so I don't know if that changes things. But, arguably in the second quarter, I just say that. Patrick, what I would appreciate as the next step, it's easy for council to come in here, and some of us are short-termers, and some of us are medium-termers, and some of us are long-termers, and we all have our own opinions. And I think this was a very positive session, and this is the most cogent conversation about the budget that I've sat through for a long time. But I think it would be fair to ask the administration to ponder the things we talked about today and in some form come back to us and give us a priority list of what sounds reasonable to them. Because I know your burden every day, Kevin, is to do the crazy things that council asks you to do. But I think I can't make a decision unless I get a little bit more feedback from the professionals on which things are just wild, crazy ideas, which things might have some merit. And I'm not worried about the debt. I don't think council should be worried about the political risks at this point, just the practical application of all of these things.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think we were intending to make any hard decisions today anyways. Are there any other questions that anybody from the administration would have for council as far as this budget discussion goes? Any more information?
I think it's important to all of us to remember to have on the take. This is not a funding crisis. We are not facing doom. The city has $10 million in its capital improvements budget. We have about $4 million in the operations budget. So you do have some time to contemplate. You are addressing a trend in our expenses exceeding our revenues, but there is still $14 million in the bank, and it would be hard for me to defend having a tax increase with that kind of money in the bank.
How does that play into the fact that we will undoubtedly have to allocate some dollars to the water if we it's a different fund?
Totally different. It's totally separate. It won't affect that $10 million or the $4 million.
Well, the only way it could is if we chose to do that.
Yeah.
Right.
By addressing this now, the administration asked you to begin these conversations because of the trend that's been going on for more than 10 years, and you are doing the right thing. You're thinking about the possibilities. What actions you take might depend on what time frame you're going to look at. My recommendation will not be to limit Kevin and street improvements to $800,000 a year. We're going to spend down some of our reserves because we need to do that to keep the streets in good option. When do you have to take action? Well, what's the balance in the bank that we want to maintain? I have put a $10 million number on it for many years, and we've been able to keep it there, but that's going to start breaking down now. Is it $5 million? We had that conversation a year or two ago. Our bond council says, well, maybe $5 million is all right. I don't know what that is, but you need to avoid a crisis in the future. You need to plan, take the proper action so we don't have a crisis, and we do not have a crisis now.
Right. I think we've been very prudent with regard to our capital fund. A lot of cities our size don't have anything to fall back on. They're literally, they have no cushion. I've said fortuitous a couple times, but it's been intentionally fortuitous. It's been planned and managed. I think the administration and council worked together well to keep that together. So this isn't a 2020 problem. We're talking about 2020, but this is a problem that we want to fix between now and 2025. We have a window here.
And I think if we all, I very much appreciate the feedback from you, Mayor, that we certainly are not in a crisis. We are cognizant of the fact that if we are going to do that $1.5 million a year redrawing from our reserves, that's 6 or 6.5 years of revenue before we're at that $5 million point. So I think we're planning far enough out that we can really look at what windows of opportunity surface. Appreciate that we certainly are not in a crisis.
So for going forward, we'll let the administration take in what we talked about today, and if they have any questions, they can contact council, and then I guess we'll have another, either a streets committee or a finance committee, whatever you'd suggest, at some point in the future, if we can schedule a later date. Does anybody else have anything else to add to the discussion?
Mark, you did a good job of summarizing this, but I think as we look at 2020, we are looking at a year where we're not going to have, probably not going to have this solved, which means we are going to pull some funds from our capital reserves for 2020.
We're already delaying projects at the Lincoln Woods here.
Right. So one of the things I think we need to think about is how much. We haven't decided that. It's somewhere, it probably won't be the full $1.8 million. It's probably going to be something less than that. We need to figure out what that is. Which makes sense for us to continue to pursue our other revenue options aggressively.
My personal enthusiasm for passing it. Budget that's not in balance will be how much progress we've made this year in coming up with a longer term solution. If there's no discussion of that in November, I don't have any enthusiasm for being all in on every project that we need to do.
I think that's exactly right. And if you look at 2020 to what Kevin's got it done here, it looks like there's $2.6 million of the really have $800,000 to put towards it next year, so it's a $1.8 million. The number that we came came up with, that's going to be the deficit spending next year unless we pull something out.
And historically, that's a big number.
That's a really big number.
Based on our experience.
Yeah, that'll be tough to do.
And remember, we're also changing the rules here in that in the past, the city was selling bonds. Now we're trying to have smaller revenues and sell bonds at the same time. That's also contributing to the squeeze.
So it's probably not something we're not going to make up the entire shortfall in 1 year, likely, but we can get on a path to doing that before it becomes a crisis. I think that's kind of the plan. Would you agree?
Planning path, yeah.
Yes. If there's nothing else, then we'll call this adjourned. It's 8:45 a.m.